The gates to the Rose Garden are now open. Welcome to my world. You are listening to Talk That Talk with Danielle Moneyham, a reflective conversation where I share the lessons I've learned on this journey called life. I don't have all the answers, but I do have plenty of questions. My name is Danielle Moneyham, and this is my love letter to the world, where I let my soul speak. Let's talk. Hello, friends. It is Danielle, and I'm sitting with a very, very, very special guest today, the original producer of the show, my everything. He is a man of many names. I used to call him Trey on the show. Every little step I took, he would be there. And now I'm sitting with him as King Rose. I'm sitting with my husband, Roosevelt. How are you today, King Rose?
I am doing well, thank you.
How do you feel about this quarantine situation?
It's a little nerve-wracking. It's a new normal, but trying to get adjusted to that.
How do you feel about no sports?
That's heartbreaking. That's devastating.
How are you coping?
Not as well as I thought I would be, but I'm fine in the grand scheme of things.
Have you been looking on YouTube?
No, I watched a couple of, like the NFL Network and the NBA Network both have free packages. So I watched a couple replays on there, but that's about it.
So you figured out how to cope with your stress?
Yes. Yeah.
Do you always have good coping mechanisms when you are faced with like stressful times?
I am learning more how to cope with just like life. I have not always had the easiest time coping with change or transition. So it just takes a little while for me to get acclimated. That's it.
What about when you were a younger man, when you were in school, when you were going through your college experience and figuring out who you were? Did you have a lot of change and transition?
Always. Always.
Like what?
So I've attended four universities. No, four colleges. I started off at SIU. That did not work out. Came back to Chicago. Went to, I think, DeVry for a couple months. Finally ended up moving to New Orleans. Started all the way over. Got my associate's degree. Came back to Chicago. Went to two more universities before I finally graduated. So always change and transition, but always a goal of just getting it done.
How long did it take you to graduate college?
11 years.
When people see you today, do they have any idea about everything that you went through to finish college?
No.
When people see you today, do they know anything about how many times you were kicked out of college?
No. No.
When people hear your story, do you think that they will be surprised?
Very much so. I think people who don't know me intimately or closely will be shocked kind of to hear my story and how I got to where I am.
And do you think that young men who hear your story will be inspired?
I would hope so. My ultimate goal and dream for them is that they would all learn from my mistakes and not do what I did. So one of the reasons I think I've made so many mistakes in college is because there was nobody to tell me what was going on. Like I literally left for college. I literally decided to go to SIU 2 weeks before school started. I had been accepted to Millikan University, and I didn't want to go there. So I decided, because my mom was taking classes, that I would just go to Wright College and take some classes with her. And my best friend, who since passed on, was just like, nah, you should go to SIU. You've been accepted already. Let's go to college. And I was like, okay, let's do it. And there we go.
Shout out to your friend. Yeah. What's his name?
Tony.
Thank you, Tony, for encouraging,
right? Dragging.
Dragging Rose off to college.
Bullying.
Bullying. To college. Bullying your bestie into going to college, because if it weren't for that, we don't know where Rose would have been. So you went to college.
Yes.
So you're 18 years old.
Yes.
You
went 17.
You were 17 because you turned 18
in October.
In October. So you went down. Yep. With your friend, you went to college. Mm-hmm. What was it like your first semester at Southern?
It was the most amazing fun I've ever had probably in 6 months. The first 6 months of time at SIU were unbelievable. For the first time in my life, I had come out of my shell. Like, girls and women were starting to notice me. Like, and we, I had an amazing time. There were a lot of new experiences, and not one of them included school. And that was the unfortunate part because I was away at school. I had an awful first semester, four classes, an 8 o'clock English class, worst mistake of my life.
I also had an 8 o'clock rhetoric my freshman year.
Worst mistake of my life. And I got two D's and two F's.
So how did you find out that you got two D's and two F's? Like at your progress report, like in the middle of the, around your birthday in October?
No. Which is odd because I was not even 18. So I couldn't even go to parties and shit until my birthday. Like my friends would leave me and just go to parties because I couldn't even get in. I found out when I got home from school, and like I wasn't checking them. I was not attentive to my grades at all. I got home and my grades came in the mail, and I was just like, oh shit.
You opened the letter at home for the first time?
Yeah.
With your parents?
Not with them. I just got the mail because I love checking the mail. I always have.
And he still does.
Yes. And I got the mail. Shut up. I got the mail. And I opened it up and I saw those two D's. It was like DFDF. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? Like, I can't believe, because this is the, I've always had good grades. Like, I was always not a real live academic, but I was always smart enough to coast even when I wasn't trying really hard. So it was the first time I had gotten an F in my life. It was just, I was devastated.
So this was like Christmas break.
Yeah.
So what about your friends? What about your friends? Like, did they also get poor grades?
So the friend that I hung out with the most also got poor grades, right? Then my best friend, Tony, because he was running track, had to maintain his grades. So his grades were fine. And then the friend who partied more than all of us he shocked everybody. We were at the friend who I hung with the most. I was at his house and I said what I got, and he was just like, oh shit, mine were similar. I'm hiding them from my mom. And I was like, yeah, me too. I can't show these to my parents. And the other one comes through to get his haircut. And we talking, and he like, y'all got what? He's like, I got straight A's. And we like, how in the fuck did you get straight A's? Like, you go out more than us. You always with some girl in her room. Like, he was just like, yeah, I'm not always in their room. Like, on nothing, I'd be in their room doing homework. He's like, I'm getting my grade. So we were all, we were just absolutely floored by that outcome. And I just said it to myself. I was like, that'll never happen again. That'll never happen again.
So that was your first semester of college. Yep. You clearly had to tell your parents. How did you make it back to school? Because you went back.
Yeah.
So how did you play this out?
So my mom didn't even ask about my grades. I don't think she knew, like, you get grades at the semester, right? So she didn't
Because she
even...
was not, she at that point had not finished college herself?
No, she had not. And was taking classes here and there, like every year or so, every couple years she'd take a class or so. I just went back to school. I don't remember talking to them about my grades. But when I got back, I found out I was on academic probation. And I knew I was not going to be in a good spot because I was a business major at the time. So I joined the African-American Business Club. And the guy who was in charge of the club was just like, yeah, you got to stop playing. You are not here to just party. Like, this is not that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd gotten a girlfriend, right? So
is that right?
I told her what was going on, and I knew that I had to turn it around. Not luckily, I think because of so much partying, my roommate had moved out on me at the semester because he was a football player. So he'd be getting up at like 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning to go to practice, and I'd still be up kicking it or just having gone to bed, whatever the case. And he left, so I end up with a single.
Okay.
For the rest of the semester. And I just turned it on. Like, I improved my grades. I did everything I was supposed to do. But I think I needed to get a 2.0 for the semester to be allowed to come back. Or no, a 3.0 for the semester, or I had to raise my GPA to 2.0. It wasn't going to be that hard. But I think I got two Bs and two Cs. So I ended up just a little bit short. So I got kicked out. Then I had to talk to my parents.
So after both semesters, first semester, you didn't even go to school at all. Second semester, you went to school.
Yep.
But it was too little, too late.
Yep.
So you end up first year at Southern, done.
Yeah.
So you come back to Chicago.
Yeah.
How was it coming back?
Awful. I was the first person. I was the first person in my family to leave for college in some years. And I don't think anybody else had a bachelor's degree at that point, thinking about my mom's side. I could be wrong. And I had a little cousin who was getting ready to leave for college. So it was devastating. And I was always this good kid. So me having bad grades and being kicked out of school was devastating. I came home and it was just awful. Like I was so embarrassed. So I would be working like these temp jobs through a temp agency because my other friend came home too. And his mom worked at a temp agency and she got us some gigs. And I did that for about a year. And I always under the pretenses of going back. But my mom's like, look, I gave you $20,000 and I'm not giving you another $20,000 to go party. Not happening. If you want to go back, you're going back on your own dime. So I worked two jobs for a year, saved up enough money on my own to go back. I was working at KFC part time and I was working at Al Pamani Ford. It was crazy because like they're on opposite sides of the town. So like I'd be driving back and forth between Melrose Park and Cicero every day to go to both these jobs. Saved up my little money, went back, great time, killed it academically.
Back at Southern.
Yes.
So you sat out for a whole year. Yeah,
you have to sit out for a whole year.
So when you went back, the people you came with were juniors.
Yes.
So how were people receiving you?
It was like, oh shit, where you come from? But it was like, hey, good to see you back. Oh, I remember you. Like, so it was because a lot of people get kicked out of Southern. Right. But not everybody comes back.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a different kind of situation because I was back.
Don't call it a comeback.
Right. So I did that.
So this is your freshman year again at Southern?
Yes, because I had like 15 hours maybe. Okay. Total. So I go back for a semester because that's all I can afford.
Because you save your money and you pay for a semester because you say, yep. I'm getting back.
Yeah.
And you paid and you got back and you only had enough money for one semester.
For one semester.
So now you out again?
Yes. And it is now about to be 2000. I come back at like January 2000 or like right before December 99, whatever that case. My best friend is coming back too because his parents can't afford it anymore.
The track star.
Yep.
Tony.
He's coming home too. So Tony come home and I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to ride with y'all because it's just the easiest thing to do.
So Tony bullied you to college 2 years earlier.
Right.
And now both of y'all, because of financial situations, got to come home. So you like, I'm going to just get back in the car.
Yeah.
Just let me get that same seat.
Yep.
Come back home.
Yep. So I come back home, not satisfied. I'm working. I'm dating this new girl.
Jeez.
She is a freshman in Louisiana, or about to be a freshman in Louisiana. We went to high school together, so. Anyway. No, she has done her freshman year. Something like that. I can't remember. And I went down there to visit her for my birthday in October. So about 9 months go by. I go to visit for my birthday in October. It's a good time. Just like being able to just be away from all of the stuff that was going on in Chicago. I was just wasting away, just hanging out with my friends, not really doing anything productive. And I went for a weekend visit or a week and stayed for a month, came back for a little while. And she and I had talked about, you know, me just kind of coming down there and starting over. So I moved to New Orleans in December of 2000. Moved to New Orleans and stayed there for 5 years.
Rosé in the Big Easy.
Right.
Shacking in the Big Easy.
Well, it was easy because my mom had family. My mom is from Louisiana. Well, her parents are from Louisiana. So she had a cousin who was there who had promised to kind of look out for me and provide some support and stuff like that. So
it was a good place because you had a network.
Yep.
And you had family. You had the support of your partner as you started over for the third time. So what was your experience like in Louisiana?
It was hell at first, honestly. For the first 2 weeks that I lived there, I had a nightmare every night and could not sleep. So I knew that my spirit was unsettled while I was there. And for that first probably 6 months, I could not find a job and could not get into any schools, oddly enough. So I was trying to transfer. I tried every school probably in the city. I tried University of New Orleans. I tried Xavier. I tried Dillard because I had a cousin, my cousin who had went off to college. Mm-hmm. She was there.
Okay.
She was at Dillard University. Okay. I tried all of the schools in New Orleans to transfer to. I tried to transfer to all of the schools in New Orleans, and nothing worked out. So I remember coming home and crying.
Coming home
to that apartment.
Okay.
And crying. I was like, I just want to go to school because I just want to graduate. Like, that's the only thing that I promised my mom I would do. Like, I just want to graduate. I want to be done with this. So, of course, you know, if you want God to laugh, tell him your plan. So, that happened. And by chance, one day, one of our friends came by the house and said she heard the sheriff's department was hiring. And they were just looking for people. And I was like, okay, I've never been arrested before. You know, I've never been in any trouble. Let me go down and apply. I applied to be a sheriff's officer and got the job.
Yeah. Officer Moneyham?
Right. So I did.
Did you have a uniform?
Yes.
And a little Moneyham nameplate?
No. No nameplate.
What?
No nameplate.
A badge?
Yes.
Like a silver one?
Yes.
And it like clink, clink when you tapped it with your nail.
Okay.
To show it's real.
Okay. So I did that for about two years. It was the worst job I've ever had in my entire life because I ended up working in central lockup and then doing fingerprinting. So I became a certified APHIS fingerprinting person.
You're a certified fingerprinter?
That was a long time ago.
I never knew that.
Long time ago.
Learning everything.
I did that. And when I was doing that, it was just awful. So it was 12-hour shifts. I lived about an hour and a half from the police station and from central lockup. And I was on public transportation. So about 14 to 16 hours a day, I was gone. It was miserable. And I felt like I was in prison. It was awful. It was really awful.
While you were working, were you in school at all?
So I finally decided that I was going to start over because I had only had
those credits away.
I only had like 20 something credits or like one full year of academic progress with SIU. So I started over. I enrolled in the local junior college, Delgado Community College, City Park campus. Shout out Dolphins. Because all of the classes I was taking in the police academy were also offered as like criminal justice classes at the local college. So I already knew all of the information. So I went there, did that for 2 years, left as a Phi Theta Kappa. I left with like a 3.6 GPA and was a member of their academic honors organization. Had a great time at that little school. It was the best thing for me. I probably should have went to a junior college when I left high school because I was not prepared to be a college student. That's the greatest mistake for me. I wasn't ready to be a college student and I didn't have a university class like the other two guys. The track star had a university class, which taught him how to be a student. And the other friend who was partying all the time had a university class, which taught him how to be a student.
That's one of the differentiators.
Yep. So having someone just to tell you right from wrong in this new situation is really important. So I did not have that. So finished Phi Theta Kappa at Delgado. It was coming time. It was beginning. I was working at Circuit City full time as an assistant manager there because that's the job I had gotten. It was a little bit closer to my house.
So you left the sheriff's department?
Left the sheriff's department because it was awful. I'm sorry. Left there in about 2003. Worked for Circuit City for the next 2.5 years as an assistant manager. I was actually making really good money at the time. I was making like $14 an hour. Yeah, so that was good money for like 03.
If you're really a king, marry you. If you're really a prince, I'll marry you.
I was working full time and going to school full time and did that for a really long time because that actually becomes kind of the story of my life as I go forward.
So tell us.
At the end of 2005, or the beginning of 2005, we knew everybody was graduating. I was finishing up at Delgado. My girlfriend was finishing at Xavier, and my cousin was graduating from Dillard all at the same time.
What's funny is that I got a scholarship to Xavier, and I was going to go to Xavier, but I chose the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign over Xavier. I might have sent you on the bus going home to your little girlfriend.
See, we'd have been, it'd have been something totally different a long time ago, boo.
Boo.
I love you the most.
Mm-hmm.
So we were all coming home. I had put in applications. My mom had gone to Loyola Chicago, and I was really excited about that because I was in love with the school. And I also applied to Loyola, New Orleans, and Tulane because I had done so well academically. I wanted to go to a prestigious school. I got accepted to all of them and decided in May, maybe April, to move back to Chicago and not accept Loyola, New Orleans, or Tulane.
So you were accepted to those?
Yeah.
So full circle moment when you first got down.
Yeah.
Back then they didn't want me.
Now I'm hot. They all know me.
Boo.
And it was good timing because Paul Wall was probably kicking it right then.
You decided to come back home and decline both of the offers from
schools in New Orleans.
Prestigious universities
in New Orleans.
In New Orleans.
Upon doing so, because God is an amazing God, 3 months later, Hurricane Katrina happened. So while I'm enrolled at Loyola, Chicago, all of the kids from Loyola, New Orleans end up transferring to Loyola, Chicago anyway, and the University of Illinois, because there was no place to put these kids. Because
so, if I had gone to Xavier, I would have been back at U of I anyway.
Yep.
So I would have been at U of I anyway.
Yep. So everybody ended up coming up here anyway. So I was at Loyola for... This is in late 2005 until 2007. When I got to Chicago in 2005, I didn't have any place to live. I had done no real preparations. So I moved in with my parents for a little while. I was trying to commute from the west side to the north side every day to go to Loyola.
Are you from the west side?
Yeah. Well, yeah and no.
Mm. Both. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. So where are you from, Rosé?
I was born...
By the river?
No. Face. I was born and lived on the north side till I was about 6 or 7. Lived on the north side in Rogers Park till I was 6 or 7. Then moved to the west side when my parents got a divorce. When my parents got divorced, then I moved to the west side. Roosevelt kids, you know, Albany kids. Shout out to my mom and the Chenier family for that house over there. So that's how that worked.
So north side and west side.
North side and west side.
Then went to school.
On the west side and then the north side. So I was an all over kind of kid. Had a lot of north side friends. So I always hung out on the north side anyway.
Okay. Okay.
So I'm in Edgewater. I wasn't living there yet. And then my mom helped me get an apartment because it was easier for me to go back and forth to school. I was literally across the street from the campus at that time. When I was commuting back and forth, it was taking me an hour and a half, 2 hours to get to school every day. So it just wasn't feasible.
From out west.
Yeah.
Mm.
Cause I had to take the green line downtown to the red line, then the red line all the way north to Loyola. So it was taking me forever to get to school.
Mm-hmm.
So she got me an apartment.
Thanks, Mom.
Right. She got me an apartment across the street from the school. This is maybe October.
Always in October.
Mm-hmm. Really enjoying my time on campus, and I meet this brother, Chris Brown, who's a member of Kappa Alpha Psi. No, my pledge dad. Shout out to Chris. Yo to the noobs. Deuce Club. And I find out that the Kappas are having an informational. It was a unique situation because Loyola is such a small school. My first day there, I passed by a girl. And she stopped me and she said, "Hey, how are you?" And I was like, "Hey, what's going on?" She was just like, "You must be one of the 16." And I was like, "What's one of the 16?" She said, "Loyola let in 16 black men this year. You must be one of them." And I was like, "Oh, wow, that's crazy." And I was like, "I guess I am." She just so happened to be president of the Black Student Council, the BAC. That's how she knew. That's how she had that information. Go to the Kappa Informational, meet a bunch of great guys, get online with Kappa Alpha Psi Theta chapter, because Loyola and Northwestern share a chapter because it's a swing chapter because of the small number of African-American men at both schools.
So what does a swing chapter mean?
Just means that it covers more than one school. It's the only swing chapter in all of Kappa that I'm aware of. So pledge, great time pledging. Oh, not great time, but pledging is hard but fair, sad but true. Did that, great time, went back and grades fell.
Back here again.
Because of finances and just like bad grades, it was not a good fit with me and Loyola. So I'm suspended from Loyola. Not suspended. I was on probation But now I'm in this apartment.
But wait, when what when did you
End of the
find?
semester. End of the semester
So in
comes.
May.
Spring of, yep. So this is just after we cross. We cross April 11th. I get to the end of the semester
When was
in
your
May,
probate show?
April 10th.
That's a great day.
Happy
That's a
birthday, my boo.
Thanks, boo.
So have my probate, get to the end of the semester, and my grades are terrible. Not awful, but not good. So I think I took some summer classes or something like that to try to catch my grades up. Worked out, but it didn't work out. End up leaving Loyola.
On your own
I think I got
or getting
suspended.
asked
I
to
got
leave?
asked to leave. Yeah, I don't know what happened with my grades that second semester or over the summer. I was feeling kind of isolated because I'd be in these classes and I'd be the only black man in the class. And, you know, I remember this one experience where the teacher was like, or the t we read about domestic violence and they talked about African American and Hispanic men being more prevalent to domestic violence. And everybody in the class looked and was like, "Is that true?" And I was just like, "I the fuck? Like, I don't know. I ain't never seen nobody hit nobody before." So, isolating, left there, out of school again, living with my sister now because I couldn't afford to maintain my apartment. I was working part-time delivering groceries with my dad. Shout out to Anne Marie and that company. It was great. So I'm working downtown delivering groceries to all of these fancy high-rise buildings, and it kicks in my drive and I say, "Oh boy, I want to live down here one day." So I'm living with my sister, working this part-time job, just trying to figure life out. My mom mentions that the church, our church, is opening up or is connected to this new high school that's about to open up. It's going to be the first new Catholic high school in like 90 years. So I apply for a role at that school as the administrative assistant to the dean and the principal, get that job. Shout out to Daryl and Brendan, just great guys, mentors of mine. Get that job, have a great time at it. Then get asked to assume the role in the admissions office because I'm from that neighborhood. I present well. I'm articulate. You know the saying, "You so articulate." That's kind of how I ended up doing admissions work for Christ the King Jesuit College Prep. Now, I'm doing assistant admissions work because the president knows that I do not have my bachelor's degree. So I'm doing assistant director work, being paid as an assistant director, even that lasts 2 years, even in times of transition when they don't have a director.
So shout out to mom again, because it's always so fascinating when you think back on the story and it's like, well, what led to what and how did this get to this and how did we get here? Your mom always just happens to say the right stuff on time when it's time for you to make the move, because it's like some things we receive, some things we don't. But thank God you received that. Like, well, let me just look into this high school that our church is opening, because that is how you made your transition into education. And for those who do not know King Rosé in a professional sense, I met him at work. I was recruiting for an all-girl high school, and they told me when I first started that one of my main priorities was to partner with the all-boy high school and to get the all-boy high school to do some collaborative events with us. Like, this was one of my very explicitly stated, but not written in my job
Objectives.
description, but explicitly stated, like, you need to make sure that this partnership happens with this all-boy school. So this is how I met King Rosé. We not there yet in the timeline, because where we are is you just got your first job in education after working at Alpamonte Ford, Best Buy, KFC, delivering groceries, and the sheriff's office.
I've had so many jobs
So
that I can't
now
remember all of
you just have started as a office assistant
them.
for this school,
Yes.
get promoted to assistant director because you don't have your degree,
Yep.
because that's how we started in the first place, because you wanted to get that degree. So you got this job, pays well, seems to be a good fit, but you still never finished your degree.
Right. So the job was amazing. I loved the kids. I loved Daryl was being like an ad hoc mentor to me. Same for Brendan, just ad hoc mentorship, like across the board. But Brendan was even taking it so far as to provide me like academic mentorship too. Brendan is a former English teacher and had been doing it was now a principal. So he would be making notes on anything that I presented, like, this don't belong here, this doesn't belong here, like, fix this. He'd make notes, fix my grammar to make sure that I was writing better at every...
He coached you.
He coached me all the way through writing. And Daryl coached me through life. Like, shout out to Daryl Hobson, like, as a strong Black man, just, like, the sense that when they say that if everybody, you know, reach one, teach one, if everybody reaches back and grabs one and brings somebody forward, I definitely feel like Daryl was the one who brought me forward. So I'm doing that. I'm loving it and I'm killing it because I'm from the neighborhood, right? I'm literally, the church and the school is located across the street from where I grew up, one of the houses that I grew up in. So I'm killing it because I know people in the neighborhood, they know me and they like seeing me in this role. Relationships have always been a big deal for me, so I'm able to start relationships and build relationships and cultivate them very well. So I'm doing really, really well, and I'm about to graduate.
In school.
Let me back up a little bit. Yeah, I'm doing really, really well, but I still want to get done with this degree. My office is next door to an amazing man, Jack Mack, who is 75-year-old white man, maybe 70 at the time, two-time cancer survivor, former priest who met his wife and left the priesthood to have six beautiful children, like the youngest of whom is like my age at the same time. And I tell Jack my story and he says, wow, we got to get you back in school. He says, I know the president of Dominican University. Let me give her a call. And I said, okay. And I was in my office doing some admissions work, and he came over and he said, I just talked to her. You should go up there and see what can happen. So I leave my office midday. I had just bought a car because the job was paying kind of well. Leave my office midday, and I go up there and talk to them. They accept me on the spot. And I say, so I'm like, wow, this is amazing. I can't believe this has happened. This is 2009. I've been in Christ the King for about a year. I can't believe this is happening. It's so amazing. I come back and I said, Jack, they accepted me on the spot. It's wonderful. I just didn't have the $100 registration fee to pay to make sure that I could have gotten to school. Jack pulls out his checkbook, writes the school a check for $100, sends me back to the school at that moment so I can go register for classes. When I tell you God moves, like, and just God is amazing. So get back in school. I am working full time because I have a 9-to-5 now. So I'm the assistant director of admissions for Christ the King. I'm doing that full time and I'm going to school full time. So when I get off of work, I go to class. I'm in class till about 10 o'clock. When I get out of school, I go back to Christ the King because they have internet. I have a computer. I can print. I can do all those things. And the building doesn't shut down till midnight. So I go back to the school, I get my homework done, then I go home, then I get up to work, start the day over, and kind of go through the same process again. I do that for 2 years. Also, I'm founding baseball coach because I love baseball, so I wanted to bring a baseball team to the school. I accept the role as athletic director, so I'm doing, because it's a small Catholic school, so that's a part-time role, a stipend role. At this point, we moved into a new building. So I am also in the original class has gotten to be seniors, juniors. So I am their junior class sponsor and working through all of these things. And I am still taking these classes at Dominican. And as I get towards probably the last 3 or 4 classes, I cannot remember this professor's name, but just an amazing woman was like, you're going to have enough credits to graduate. You just don't have them in one area. I had taken my associate's degree was in criminal justice. I had taken a ton of business classes over my life because I just love business. So I had to write essentially a letter, a paper, a thesis or whatever. I don't know what it is, to the trustees and the president of Dominican articulating why my classes in totality should count for a degree. So I think 40 or 50 iterations while being in school full time and working a full time job, they finally accept it. I have to get 5 department chairs to sign off on this. So I'm running around a school, one of whom happened to be that professor. So that was good. And I have to present it to all of them and get them to sign off on it before I'm able to go through. I finally get the last signature, like March something. It is after the application to graduate is, due. It was just a full whirlwind of change and transition. I did that, and I find out April something that I'm going to graduate. And yeah, it was great. And I'm in an assembly. I think I tell people, but I didn't make it a big deal. I think I told Daryl and Brendan, and I'm in an assembly, and they stop and they announce it, and all the kids cheered, and it was just a wonderful moment. I did that. That was cool. At that time.
So when did you earn your bachelor's degree?
May 2011.
May 2011.
No, so that's not 11 years. That's 13 years. Is that right? Yeah, because I started in 98. So that's
13 years of student. 13
years of, 13 years of student, 12 years of slave, 13 years of undergrad.
But you did it.
Yeah.
So you finished your degree. Mm-hmm. Well, so what was your major?
So my degree is an interdisciplinary degree. It is in criminology with a focus on white collar crime and causation.
And right. Currently, are you working in criminology or law enforcement?
Not at all.
Because you still work in education.
Yes.
Even though I have left education.
Yes.
Clearly, I think I worked in that space so that I could meet you, because at the next job after Christ the King, once you finished, you went to the all-boys school.
Yep.
And then that's when I met you.
Yeah.
And that will be a story for another day on how he played me from beginning to end. But because I was so tenacious and I was so dedicated to doing my job and getting this partnership, I had to endure months of being ignored, my emails being ignored.
That's true.
Coming when I finally did go to his office, he wouldn't even look at me.
That's not true.
Click clacking on his computer, ignoring me. I'm making small talk, chatting and shit. He just.
Can you be honest about the process though? I was managing a full time.
Yes, he had
employee.
A. He had a job. Duh. I said we met at work.
Three times as many students to recruit as you did.
Excuse me.
I'm just saying, like, I was busy. I loved you though, boo. I loved you from the beginning.
Shout out to Nasha. Shout out to Nasha. The point is, when people meet you, they don't know anything about your story and your struggle. And in the beginning, I asked you, like, what do you think that people can learn? Like, what do you think that Black boys can learn? What do you think men can learn? But really, what do you think that you've learned about yourself in all of this?
Probably the greatest takeaway that I've figured out in all of this, and then I think back to the time when I was online, is that I'm way stronger than I think I am. I'm way more resilient than I think I am. And, you know, pressure does two things. It busts pipes and it makes diamond. And I'm nobody's busted pipe. And I realize that every time I get into a real battle, like I'm very laid back, very chill. So I don't like to, you know, exert a lot of mental or negative energy.
You're a Libra. You enjoy balance.
Balance. But when I have to go hard, I do.
You go hard in the motherfucking paint.
Very much so.
Mm-hmm.
But I be chilling.
You be chilling.
Let's see.
Thank you, King Rosé, for telling your story. I am fascinated every time I learn more and more about you. Truly like an onion. All the layers. A certified fingerprinter? Who knew? But the point is, you are stronger than you know. And you learn that more and more every day.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that people can learn from you. I hope that we pay more attention to our young people and understand who they are. Because it sounds like you really benefited from a small school environment.
Yes.
And also people showing you, not just assuming to put you in a space and you will figure it out, but like, show me what success looks like here. And once I understand that, I can do that.
It's modeling, right? No one ever modeled it for me before. I had to figure it out on my own. That was my biggest thing. Like, my mom knew nothing about college. Even when she was a full-time college student, she still didn't know what was going on. So I just had to figure it out on my own. But, you know, thank God that there were mentors and people in place along the way. There was always some sort of, you know, how bowling for kids has those little bumpers that you put in the alley so that they can't go into the gutter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had those little bumpers. People have always played those buffers for me. And then when God see that I needed to go to a next level, there would be no bumper and I'd have to go in the gutter and find my way out. But, you know, God is amazing. That's pretty much it. Like, I don't know what I've done differently than other people have done to be here. So, yeah, I just keep lifting God up and being thankful for that. because there's no real difference between the people who are, you know, in jail or some of the people who are no longer with us than it is between the rest of us, right? The guys who are in jail got caught, and the guys who are not here, it's their time to go. But we've all made a lot of the same mistakes. So, yeah, God is just tremendously good.
God is good. And shout out to Tony. We miss you, Tony. Give us one, since you said Tony bullied you into going to school, give us one Tony memory, and then we signing off. Thank you, Tony, for making King Rose go to college.
Right. For the, when I was at Loyola and I was online, Tony was a real support system for me. Tony left his parents' home and was transitioning to his own place and stayed with me for a couple months. He bought all the groceries. He bought everything for the house. I just had to pay the rent. And it was just a good support system. Like, I would come home from Northwestern every night and, you know, my boy would be there. Talk me down, you know, go back, stuff like that. So it was just cool. It was cool.
All right. We miss you, Tony. This is Danielle, and we out. Thanks, King Rose. All right, superstars, we are all out of time. Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you love the show, make sure to subscribe, share, review the episodes, tag a friend, talk to me. Visit DanielleMoneyham.com and follow me on social media to stay connected. Your support means the world to me, so thank you for helping my dreams come true. A major lesson that I learned, that I continue to learn, is that although you will experience dark moments in your journey, you can be the light. You have more power than you know. Until we meet again, shine bright.